Hello, and welcome back to Extra Features. Tonight it's episode 60, our Oscar post-review show. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Karen.
Bob.
And I'm Deb.
So, man, the Oscars. What can I say about the Oscars? Well,
Did you make it through?
Maybe we'll save the Oscar talk for a little bit into the show. But
yes, we watched every bitter minute of it.
Oh, yeah. We actually thought we'd kick it off with one review this week.
Hold on. Do we have a shout-out?
A shout-out?
Our 16-year-old fan.
Oh, that's right. Zach, this is for you. You better be listening to this because this is going to be an all Dobby joke-free episode. Just for you, we're going to get rid of that Harry Potter humor for one episode.
How can we know about Zach? He's never emailed the show at extrafeatures@yahoo.ca.
How come we're making promises not to do Dobby?
Because I promised not to do Dobby.
I never agreed to do that.
Well, I want to know what movie Zach likes. So he hasn't emailed us to say what review he wants us to do.
Zach likes Potter.
Oh, you broke the promise.
Sorry, I broke the promise. I didn't promise. I'm not making promises.
Well, what kind of crap boyfriend / podcaster are you then? Breaking promises to the youth, what? To the future of podcasting? No, shame.
Normally you'd like warn me ahead of time that we were making a promise.
I knew ahead of time. She told me. Did you get the email?
What email?
There was an email.
When did this email go in?
About 5 minutes ago for the show.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, back to All-Star Superman.
All-Star Superman. We'll kick it off with one movie review. DC released a direct-to-video adaptation of the Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely 12-issue miniseries. The movie is directed by Sam Liu, stars the voice of James Denton as Superman, Christina Hendricks from Mad Men as Lois Lane, Anthony LaPaglia as Lex Luthor, Edward Asner as Perry White, Linda Cardinelli, Francis Conroy, Alexis Desinoff, Michael Gow, and Steve Blum.
I have a question.
Yes.
I know I feel like an idiot. What has James Denton done? Because I know the name's ringing a bell, and I should have looked him up.
Wasn't he on one of the Joss Whedon shows?
Is that who he is?
He's the guy on Desperate Housewives.
That's what I thought it was.
And in the band from TV.
So I was right. Okay, yeah, so it is the guy I think it is. Okay, because I usually look these up, but as you know, guys know, I just came back from holidays for a couple days away, so I didn't get all the research done I normally have done for the show, so I apologize.
Right. All right, well, what did you think of All-Star Superman, the movie?
Boring.
Really?
I really did not like this.
What about it in particular?
I thought it looked beautiful. I thought that they covered the whole Frank Quigley.
Now, have you read the miniseries?
I have read the miniseries, but I loved.
Who here has read the miniseries?
I think we all have.
Yeah, I think we all have.
Maybe Karen might be the only one that would
read it. I don't do superhero things.
Okay.
I just thought it was boring. It didn't catch what I wanted from the comics. It was missing that narrative, which I really enjoyed, and it wasn't there. And I thought they just did the comic without the narrative. And I thought the narrative was so needed to hear what Superman was thinking all the time and what he was looking at. I think they tried. With the whole Lois Lane birthday present thing and all that. I think it worked on that level for me, but I was missing that next level I got from the comics. And this is the first time I was annoyed.
Well, it's the perils of adaptation, isn't it?
That's it. I agree. It's like watching Harry Potter movies. They miss whole stuff that I want in them. And that's what I have to accept, I guess, from this. But I'm not going to get what I want all the time.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think that most people who would have, you know, buy or rent this DVD or Blu-ray, like most people who would be attracted to seeing this are people who have read and loved the comics, the miniseries.
I don't underestimate the kid appeal to a kid with their parents and this video is on the shelf.
But there's the whole subplot, which spoils nothing, like that Superman is battling essentially a fatal illness over the arc of the story. I mean, I don't know if that's really, if this was the most kid-friendly version of Superman I've ever
seen. Well, I mean, looking at the box, I mean, what about this would tell you that it wasn't kid-friendly? Just out of curiosity.
You're right. They have packaged this in a very kid attractive way.
So the 16-year-old Zach will like it?
Oh, it's right up his alley, I'm sure.
Oh, are you kidding? Zach seemed like, do not underestimate the movie lovingness of Zach.
I can't wait to meet Zach.
You hear that, bud? You got to get down here.
What if he's in Sweden?
No, he's not in Sweden. He's in Ottawa going to Catholic high school. We'd be doing him a favor getting him out of high school to come and do this.
Okay, Bob, what did you think of this?
Well, the 48-year-old Bob enjoyed the movie.
What about the 16-year-old Bob?
The 16-year-old Bob liked it, too. I mean, like, there was...
What about the 23-and-a-half-year-old Bob?
The 23-and-a-half-year-old Bob liked it, too.
Was he hanging out with his friend from Harry Potter?
I did not...
His friend from Harry Potter, did he like it? I can't mention his name.
Creature. Okay. Now I didn't buy the graphic. I didn't buy the miniseries. I flipped through the graphic novel in HMV. I saw it in HMV.
Why didn't you buy it? That's my problem.
Is the box not shiny enough for you?
It's called the library, from the library.
The isolated volume is pretty expensive.
But I can buy this. But the issues were available in the library in hardcover.
That's true. They're two hardcovers, and then they're two trade paperbacks.
Right. So, I mean, it is readily available.
Can Bob finish his thought?
Yes.
He's going to have a stroke.
No, he can't.
Yes.
He can finish his thought? No, okay. Well, anyway, I flipped through the comic. I thought it was interesting. So when I saw the movie, I really enjoyed it. There was things in it that were different. From the original Superman, they had, like, that big giant key, right?
Yeah.
In this one, I don't care if I'm ruining it, but he shrunk down the size of the key because it was white dwarf matter anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the only one that can pick it up. I thought that was a good
idea. I love that. I thought that was really cool.
Lois is trying to pick it up, but she can't do it. Mm-hmm. Everything else was perfect. Like they had.
No,
they
the
had
line it. Was... Oh, well, can anybody pick up the key? Here, try, Lois. And she tries, and I loved that she couldn't pick it up. I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really good. Like, it was, like, the whole, it flowed, and,
I got a question. You like the Green Lantern one, though, too, though. You like these DC animations.
Yeah.
It's more than
I
do.
They're okay.
And I think you do, Kevin. I think I'm the one that's a little tougher on them.
I actually, my favorites are actually the Showcase shorts. You know, where they take...
Oh, like the Green Arrow one?
I like them because they're grittier. Those are more
the Jonah Hex
my alley.
Or,
actually, I didn't enjoy the Jonah Hex one as much.
You didn't?
So the Green Arrow one.
The Jonah Hex one.
That was nice and
Spectre
dark.
Spectre was great.
The Spectre was good.
Oh, yeah, that was beautiful.
Do you think that the fact that All-Star Superman was episodic and this movie was not...
That was a big... Yes, absolutely.
No.
Would you have preferred that they done in a different way? Like, say, a 5-episode miniseries where...
See, they couldn't do that because that's not their style, I guess.
I mean, they could have done chapter one, chapter two. They would have made...
Probably would have worked better for me. I need more narrative. I want to hear Superman talking to himself a little bit more, which he doesn't work in movies. It works in comics. And again, that's my issue. Morrison's his writing, not so much his dialogue, like a lot of narrative with Norris and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets very in-depth. And this is very surreal to me. It's just very topical.
Well, what I found interesting was how they tried to alter the animation style to be reminiscent of the quietly drawn.
But they did that with everything.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with
all the movies. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The only other one where I can really remember them doing it was the Darwin Cook.
No, the McGinnis one they did it too.
That was just recently on TV. Batman Under
the Red Hood is somewhat reminiscent of Mankey.
Which is gorgeous.
Yeah.
That was a solid movie.
But are you saying it would have been better to do it like chapter one and then go to chapter two?
Yes, I wish they did.
Okay, now, it's not on here, but there was that one I was talking to you about, the Astonishing X-Men, that one.
Oh, yeah.
You had to go click, and I found that annoying. I'd rather watch a movie.
I'm thinking a narrative, but with chapter where it stops, like something like a Tarantino film. Like a screen comes out, chapter one.
I hate Tarantino films.
Okay, well, I don't.
Not hate, but that's a too strong a word. But.
No,
I mean,
that was your
idea. For those of you who read it, do you think that the movie lacks for the absence of the Jimmy Olsen story and the Bizarro, Zimbaro storyline as well? When he goes to the Bizarro
Jimmy
one?
I never missed Jimmy Olsen.
I love
chapter 3 or 4 of the miniseries.
This is where me and Dad are really going to disagree, because I'm a huge Jimmy Olsen fan.
Really?
I have almost every issue of Jimmy Olsen. I mean,
Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen?
I do not like Superman. You got to understand her. You may not know. I cannot stand Superman.
Really? Why?
I like Lois. I have a full run of Lois Lane and almost a full run of Jimmy Olsen.
Even the one where she does a duet with Pat Boone?
Yes, I have all those. But I do not like Superman. You can ask Kevin. I'm a huge Batman fan. Superman could die tomorrow and stay dead, and I'd be the happiest camper on the planet. He's useless.
Yeah.
I'm done with the Boy Scout. He needs to go for me.
I had that perspective when I was a kid. I've grown to like Superman as a character.
I've grown to like Grant Morrison Superman,
yeah.
And I've tried numerous times. I like John Byrne Superman, but I don't like the cartoon Superman, I guess is the way I can describe him.
Mm-hmm.
Is he too, like, what, like, do you have...
he's stiff.
Do you find him too powerful? Like, it's hard to write.
You can't kill him. Like, he needs to go away. Like, I liked when they... Yeah, he's too powerful for me. I've always thought that. I don't find his rogues gallery that really interesting. Other than Lex, that's it. Continuously. Like, that's the best you guys can do after 70 years is Lex and Bizarro, which is Superman.
What about the...
Darkseid?
Brainiac. Amazing.
Brainiac, Legion Superhero villain. Darkseid's Jimmy Olsen villain.
I gotta say, I'm really unimpressed.
The guy who absorbs his powers.
Parasite.
I like Parasite. But it's got those purple spandex
pants. Parasite was good in this movie as well.
Yes.
Well, actually, they make Parasite more like... What would you say that? Like, that almost reminds me of, like, 1950s science fiction. I'm just pointing at the illustration of him. Yeah, like, just sort of...
Well, that's what I thought when he started feeding off his powers. And he goes, whoa, power! And he starts getting bigger and bigger because he's a lord.
Sounds like people I know at the buffet.
I'm really glad... I'm really glad they kept the Lex Luthor story. That was the best issue of the bunch.
Well, that was good.
Clark Kent goes to
see. I like the Lex Luthor part of it. I didn't do it for me.
And LaPaglia was a great Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I liked how they still kept that gravity gun thing, like where something that's sort of like a throwaway line at the first part of the movie comes back out of nowhere to save the day, but it's in continuity. Like, it's not like it's something that, like, and then Superman reached into his pocket and pulled out, you know, the weapon that would mysteriously finish him off. Like, it's something that...
He sang a song, Gavin.
What?
Superman sings a song.
Yeah.
Actually, did, you know...
So, did you like it, Deborah?
Actually, I did. I did. I still liked the miniseries a lot better. But, I mean, it was a fun night. And, of course, there is the inevitable sort of poignancy of the fact that we watched it the day we found out that Dwayne McDuffie had passed on.
Right. Yeah,
I think we all did. I watched it the same day as you guys did.
Yeah. And, like,
I don't do a lot of superhero, and I'm not really a comic book aficionado, as all of you are. So I'm a little in the dark on this little chapter
here. Before we go on, I have one quick question for Karen.
Okay.
Are you excited about Thor, Green Lantern, X-Men, Avengers, any of that stuff?
Not terribly. To say I will not go see them.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Will you even go see it in theaters, or are you going to wait for home video?
Probably half and half. Green Lantern, I'm excited about.
Because of Ryan Reynolds?
No, just because I seem to have read a lot more about it
lately. In trades, or the actual stories they come from?
Trades.
Okay, so like EW and people and stuff
people
like that.
And, you know, just other, you know, things. Again, not to say I don't go see the superhero movies, because I love movies, but for all of you that are very familiar with them as a comic book and then as an animated feature and so forth, I'm really not.
So if your option were Green Lantern or Titanic, which one would you go into?
Green Lantern, because I have not seen it.
But if you had seen it already, I guess it's a better question. Or Green Lantern and X-Men. X-Men and Titanic, because they've both been out. Or maybe Titanic's a bad choice.
You know what? It's probably a bad choice because I really love historical pieces that have a history to them. So, I mean,
right,
I would be more drawn to that kind of film.
Now, X-Men First Class, they're doing it as a period piece. They're setting it in the mid-60s.
So does that count?
See, that would interest me because of that aspect. Because
it's all, like, groovy Avengers, and I mean, like, the English TV series.
Yeah.
Like, so it's all going to be, like...
And then they're making a new Avengers as well, are they not?
They are...
So well, it's not a new Avengers. They're making the Avengers, which is different from the 60s Avengers, right?
But wasn't there an Avengers movie with Uma Thurman?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's the English television show.
The English television show, not the comic book heroes. Right.
Correct.
Which was closer to James Bond in its spirit. Like, you know, super spies with super gadgets, you know.
Exactly. Okay, so again, not familiar that there were, that the new Avengers was not that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did like All-Star Superman, so I think for the most part everyone did like it. I think you liked it, but not as much.
No, I don't hate it. Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst one I've ever seen.
Yeah,
so.
You don't actively wish bad things to happen to it, but...
No.
Well, speaking of bad things, I mean, it's kind of sad that the writer of the film, the person that adapted it for the screen, Dwayne McDuffie, passed away last Monday night.
Which is upsetting to me, because I really like most of his work, and I've read it for numerous years.
And he was very young. Like, he was only 49.
How long had he been writing this? Fill me in just a little on his history.
Well, Dwayne sort of debuted in the late 80s and the early 90s. Created these characters for Milestone Media, Static Shock.
It was probably the most famous.
Yeah, and then... And Milestone Media was an attempt to bring more, to give black creators a voice within the comics industry. So, you know, as a black man himself, he was very eager to make sure that his own interests and culture was represented.
And yeah. Represented fairly, I think, is a better
yeah.
way.
Boy, I want to back this up, because I met Chris Cross years ago.
Right.
And I can't remember, was it Blood something, Bloodsport maybe was his,
yeah.
or Blood?
Okay, so he just killed me and I'm a newbie, like, sorry. I know nothing.
He was an artist for one of the black comics for Milestone. As Chris Cross explains to me, these were black comics for the black people.
Okay.
And it was never for white people to read, it was for black people. That was from Chris Cross. It
well, was that was intentionally that I guess that people would hear from their own...
But I never got that impression from McDuffie. He was just writing black characters.
Right. I think McDuffie writes comics. And in theory, this is what every writer should be doing, is they should be writing
comics
with their own voice.
Right, for whoever they want.
Right. But I think his intention was to make sure that they were treated fairly and given a voice within the industry.
And I don't know if you've seen this floating around on the internet, but in the wake of his death, I saw posted on a lot of sites a copy of a very famous memo that McDuffie wrote, I think back in 1994, when he was working for Marvel at the time. And it's hysterical because he talks about the fact that of all the black superhero characters in the Marvel Universe, something like 25% of them had skateboard-based powers. And he started, and he said, and he wrote this very, it was a very politely worded memo, but it was like, come on, like, you know, if you're going to have black characters, have them dress like it's not 1974, you know, have them speak appropriately, like give them appropriate.
Yeah, they're not all Black Panthers, basically.
Well, yeah,
that kind of concept.
Exactly.
Well, that's interesting because Marvel really was the breakout company for making sure that all races were represented in their books. I mean, going back to the early 60s, you had Joe Robertson working for for J. Jonah Jameson at the Daily Bugle. And you had, Tony Stark's pilot was black.
James Rhodes.
Yeah. And so forth. But I think it was probably, and they introduced the first black hero as well, the Black Panther, who was, inappropriately named probably.
I don't think
so. But, I mean, it's a great visual, a Black Panther.
But he's wearing a black suit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I just watched an Avengers cartoon last night with him. A great character.
Well, that's my argument. Well, he's called the Black Panther because he was black wearing a panther costume.
Stands head and shoulders with all the other Avengers. He's in.
Yeah, so I don't have an issue with that.
What's interesting is I always thought of him as like the heroic counterpart to Doctor Doom because we have a character who is a king in his native land, but who fights for good as opposed to Doom, who just basically goes around cursing Reed Richards and...
Or the Submariner who's just kind of ambiguous.
They've actually missed an episode on that. On that
They did. There's no episode 9 or 10.
No, because there's, where is it? But you see the Hulk going to the Arctic. You see the shield for Captain America. Then it jumps to the next 3 episodes and you see he's already there. And I'm going, well, where did this thing go with Captain America?
They didn't put 2 or so on episodes on there, yeah. I think it goes 8 and then 11.
And there's another.
That's kind of irrelevant, though. Sorry. We can discuss it after.
Okay.
He went on later to work for the DC Animation, the Warner Animated Group, working with Bruce Timm on shows like Justice League Unlimited. He was the head writer.
Which I like.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Those episodes with the question. Deeply wonderful.
Okay. It's 1846. Do you know where your children are? all right. And I guess we're all... Does anyone want to add to this discussion about Dwayne?
I just have a question. Is there anyone, like, in the way that will fill his space in the way he wrote? Like, is there anyone that... Is it sort of like... I can only relate it to, like, a book series when an author dies and then all of a sudden there's a ghostwriter. Or is there someone that writes in that style that can sort of fill the void?
I don't think it matters, because Dwayne McDuffie wasn't really working on anything long-term. He was sort of like a fill-in.
He was like the head writer for Bruce Timm's animated movies. So
I know, but I'm sure we can find... Like, I don't mean to be
sure
rude, but it was never his voice he was writing.
Well, he wrote some pretty strong original stories for Justice League.
Yeah, that was he did there, so, but I meant this is him interpreting Morrison's work, right, or interpreting somebody else's exactly work. He's not okay doing his own.
We just won't see anything as good as Justice League Unlimited.
No, which will upset me because I love that. The one thing that we never mentioned, the passing of Boyd Kirkland, like, really upset me.
Okay, that who's that for those that
another
are unfamiliar?
Another Bruce Timm animated. Did
he was
a work.
Director.
A director, okay. One of my favorites. But he was like 79 years old, so I shouldn't be upset. Yeah. But just I was when he passed.
All right, so, a loss in certain respects, and just a tragedy when someone dies that young, right?
Yeah,
and
I agree.
It was very unexpected. Like, all that I've heard is that he died as a result of a surgical procedure. And it's interesting because if you go and look at his website, like, he was a, like, he, the tone of his posts, this was not a guy that was expecting to go anytime soon, which I think.
No, he was posting on Facebook the day before.
Which means that, like, it wasn't, oftentimes when people know that they have a terminal condition, like they'll wrap up the loose ends in their lives, and you get the sense that this is very much somebody whose life was just cut off.
Cool. Well, not cool, but yeah. We had one other discussion topic that didn't make it onto this list, which was Bob added as a result of his seeing the Astonishing X-Men motion comic.
I didn't see it yet. We were supposed to discuss that?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay.
So the question is that there's been a plethora of these new motion comics that have come out, direct-to-DVD, like Watchmen, Astonishing X-Men. There's a Spider-Woman one that came with the graphic novel. There's a Black Panther one. Actually, I think it's a McDuffie. No, it's not a McDuffie-written series, but it's John Romita Jr.
Christopher Priest?
No, I don't remember who it was, actually.
I'm reaching, I know.
Yeah. And now we've got all these adaptations of comics as animated films from DC, and Marvel's doing original content, but they're adapting old Jack Kirby, Stanley, Steve Ditko.
I haven't seen it yet. If it's been how it's come out.
Well, you've seen Ultimate Avengers and things like that, right?
Yeah. I like those.
So there's a lot more of these direct-to-video things. Now these motion comics are taking actual comic books and adding voices to them and moving the panels around, like almost like the old. Remember that 60s show, Marvel Superheroes?
Captain America.
No, I think the Marvel.
That's John Burton.
Yes, and when he flings his shield, his foes must yield and all that.
Tony Stark is a cool exact.
I'm going to be surprised.
Iron Man has Nerves of Steel.
Yes, Bruce Banner radiated by gamma radiation.
I love those. They're awesome.
Hulk. I think I missed this.
I used to watch them in French.
They were just actually taking Jack Kirby comics and doing the same thing, adding voices and jiggling the panels around on screen.
Thor reaches for his mighty hammer.
So, what do you think? I mean, is this a good trend or a bad trend, this direct-to-video?
You know, being an old comic nerd, anything gets new readers in, and anything to try, I have no issues with. Because, I mean, I'm not going to be buying forever.
But is it something you would choose to watch?
No, I would never watch it. Just not interested.
So you don't think it's aimed at those of us who read comics
anyway? No, absolutely not. I think it's for new readers. I think they have to try anything. I don't know if they think it's working. I think they have to try.
Although I did see the Spider-Woman motion comic. They had a screening of it at Fan Expo one year, and I was impressed. Yeah, like I thought I was, but again, like that's newer art, and they're able to do more stuff with it digitally speaking, as opposed to something that was penciled and inked 50 years ago.
I have a question for Deb, since I don't know you that well. Before you knew Kevin, did you read comics?
I did, but it was a long time ago. Like I read comics in the late 80s.
Like what?
I'll say 1988 through.
Break down. Did you read X-Men? Did you
read
Strangers in Paradise?
Mostly, I read mostly the big two, mostly Marvel. And basically, I was a victim of all that crap in the 90s. Like the foil covers, the hologram covers, the poly bags. It was just not a good experience.
Same question for Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read comics?
Not since I was a kid.
So this is probably a better question for you than Kevin Bassey. Have you ever seen a motion comic?
I have not.
Would you watch motion comic or reading a comic?
Probably not read a comic, to be honest.
Would you watch the motion comic if it was available?
If it was available, my only concern for me as the viewer would I have enough back knowledge to be able to follow it in the sense of, having not.
Well, those are the questions I'm asking. Because, I mean, you're walking in the store. You're looking for something for your nephew or next-door neighbor's kid. I mean, me, Kevin, and Bob would know what to buy, right? But you don't. Would you purchase this for them if you knew they were interested in comics?
I probably would because I'm a movie fan. And I think, you know, I would want to share the experience of movies as well.
Did you see Watchmen?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Because there's a Watchmen motion comic, which is the entire graphic novel.
What comic movies have you seen that being non-comic fan? That's have you seen all the X-Men movies? Have you seen Fantastic Four?
No.
So they're not bringing in the market they think they are. Like, it's still us going to see them. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not drawn, again, not to say I would not go, but if my choice is that.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, if my choice is that versus something else. I would say 90% of the time I'm leaning to the something else.
Well, I think Bob would say that because I'm the guy that watches anything. So I'm the worst person to ask because I watch everything that comes out.
No, a comment just on motion comics is that they tend, the ones I've seen, they've always been bundled in on a DVD or a Blu-ray of a kind of related movie property, like the Watchmen motion comic was tied in with the film. And I just don't know that if you have enough awareness of the comic that you've gone to see the movie or you've bought the DVD Blu-ray of the movie adapted from the comic, are you a new viewer? Like, it's kind of a circular question.
Right.
Well, how about this crossover? They put it in, they did a Buffy comic. Joss Whedon wrote it. They called it Season 8.
Yeah.
And they put that out as a standalone motion comic on DVD.
That'll work.
So.
That did work. I'm sure it did, because that Buffy universe is Robin, I guess, is the best word. It's kind of like the Potter universe. They did the same thing with Potter. It would sell millions.
Mm-hmm. As long as Joss Whedon is the one writing it, people will buy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because, like, I mean, it's true, though. It's like Potter is like an alter universe where as long as it's rolling, it's got, it'll have the right.
Is there a Harry Potter comic?
No,
but I was just comparing.
Okay, it was called The Books of Magic.
Yeah, there is something very similar to Harry Potter that came out previously.
Before Harry Potter.
Very similar.
Yeah, with Timothy Hunter was the character's name, and he had spectacles and an owl. And
yeah, there is kind of like unwritten, kind of like the real life Harry Potter comic.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read the unwritten, Kevin? It's about a guy whose dad dies, and he's literally Harry Potter, and he's come into his dad's universe. Wow. And I really like it. I mean, I've read sporadic issues here and there, but I can pick up. I'm weird because I'm not one of these people. As I got older, I've discovered dollar bins, and I buy most of my comics out of the dollar bins now.
That's Mike Carey and
I can't remember. But it is really good. So basically, I call it the continuing adventures of Harry Potter because it gives me my Harry Potter fix.
Okay, cool. All right, it's not about not being interested, but again, with so many choices out there, I think I will still probably lean to something else.
But I think you do raise an interesting point, which is that for somebody who is walking into a comic shop for the first time, most of the DC and, like, the big two, DC and Marvel, like, all the titles have such baffling continuity. Right. That, like, you literally need somebody to sit down with you and explain everything that's happened to this character over the last 20 years.
So that's very intimidating to someone like me.
Oh, it is. It is.
You know, to watch a movie, again, it's not, you know, you can watch any movie and not be familiar with anything.
I mean, like.
But with a comic book movie like X-Men or something, there's such a history to it that I think, you know, even for me watching Star Trek, having watched the series on TV, you know, familiar with certain things, you know, certainly not a huge Trekkie by any stretch. But to go watch the movie, I had this intimidation that there's going to be so much I don't understand already.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's that factor for me as a viewer.
Okay, I appreciate it. I think those franchises, too, have to continually reinvent themselves to try to get new people in.
And that would be good. I think if,
like,
you know,
the Star Trek movie that came out 2 years ago, I think, was a great re-entry point for fans.
It was, because I could go back, you know, and appreciate certain things in a different way, and the way they're going to do with Planet of the Apes this year with its, the, you know, version of a prequel idea. Yeah. I think that is really interesting to me.
All right, well, sounds good. Bob, did you want to say something?
Great,
but I'll get it in quick.
Okay, Astonishing X-Men, having... Now, I've watched the Astonishing X-Men motion comic and the Tales Is it Tales of the Black Freighter?
Tales of the Black Freighter.
Oh, is that a motion comic?
Yes, now,
that was awesome.
Going no, actually, you know, I'm going to disagree with Tales of the Black Freighter was actually
a fully animated.
A fully animated thing.
But it was still sort of stop motion.
No, it was not stop motion.
When he's tying the dead bodies to make the...
Going by the experience I had with both of these movies, and especially with the Stunning X-Men, I was disappointed.
Or the shark attack on the raft.
I watched it, I'm a fan of X-Men. But I was disappointed with the way they portrayed this, the animation on it. Like they sounded like they're going back to the 50s and 60s with the faces are going, like they're going slowly and going by the way the animation is
well,
now.
They're taking panels by John Cassaday and moving them slightly and drawing, there's a process now they can use where they can take the character on the panel and extend it out almost like a 3D.
I want to actually see an animated
That's why most of us who read comics are not interested in these
things.
We've lost Simon, I think we need to move on.
Alright, okay, so I think we've beat this to a dead hook.
I thought I enjoyed it, but...
Okay, alright, so...
Moving right along.
Sunday night, it was the Oscars. The 83rd annual Oscars with Anne Hathaway and James Franco.
And was James Franco incredibly high or just really bored?
Really looked like a deer in headlights. He was more asleep than Simon was just on the couch there a moment ago.
And couldn't, I mean, and I thought, like, wow, isn't James Franco supposed to be an actor? Do we have more than one facial expression there, buddy?
Well, and it just proves
Did
to me that maybe...
127 hours?
Well, no.
Three expressions in that.
He's good as a humorous character, but then does that just mean he's getting a good script? And he's working with the script.
Did you see Spider-Man 3 at all?
We try to forget.
Do you see Spider-Man 2?
Yes.
Man 1?
Oh, my God. I have to get tissues for these
people.
They're going to cry.
In any of these movies? Did he act?
They're going
Not
to cry.
Really.
Pineapple Express?
Oh, that was awesome.
That was
Did
his
he
Oscar
act?
Hosting.
He didn't act. He was funny.
Thank
I
you.
Think there's a difference.
So, James Franco is not an actor. Mm-hmm. He reads nicely.
So,
he likes big words.
Red carpet. Anything to say about the dresses and the production? I lost things to say.
I try to watch two different feeds at the same time. I watched the CTV feed, which is the Canadian feed. Which I thought was actually better, which I hate to say. I just can't stand Ben Mulroney. He needs a puck in the head anytime. Anybody wants to hit him with one, just line it up for me and I'll shoot it.
Puck is too nice.
I had a lot of problems with the ABC feed this year because I found they didn't show a lot of the other people like they used to. Like, they seemed to just focus on the same five people there. I'm like, because then I'm looking online and I see a bunch of dresses I didn't see. And I'm like, okay, ABC, I understand you have an interview with Kevin Boyd. And Rob McBride's coming up, and you don't want to show Rob McBride. Well, I need to see him, too. Like, you know, like, show me a two-panel. Or, like, we have enough technology now to have five different cameras.
But they used to pan through the artists. Oh, look, there's Tom Cruise in his wife.
And I love that stuff. And I didn't get that this year, and it really pissed me off. So I was already pissed going in.
Okay, I just have...
You're always pissed.
But I have to say, there were some dresses that, I mean...
Melissa Leo's?
Oh, my God.
What the hell was that? It was like the Revenge of Elvis.
No, it was a tablecloth my grandmother owned in the 70s.
What was with, like, it was, like, backed with some kind of gold wrapping paper?
Yeah,
well, that was the foil from the toffee.
The girls
at
my house did not like that dress.
Oh, it was horrible.
The horrible opinions I heard.
Oh, but now let's balance the horrible with the awesome. I loved Hailee Steinfeld.
Classic. For her age and for the event.
What is it? She's 13. I'm a guy. I couldn't care about it.
No, but the fact is, it was a beautiful dress. She looked...
Yeah. Calm when she's 18. Thanks. Move along.
The fact is, though, when you think that the tabloids are full of, like, teen stars...
That are skanks.
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart.
You know, not 13, but definitely over 18, and was... Melissa Lawrence? Is that the actress?
No, Jennifer.
She's 20 from Winter's Bone. What the heck? I was doubled over. Is that
I just saw a picture of her and I went, wow, she's
but not,
cute.
But not an Oscar dress. I have to say, it was a little tame and a little understated.
Kojo on Entertainment Tonight asked if she's wearing her Baywatch swimsuit.
Yeah. It was the formal collection.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, a lovely dress. I just don't think it suited the importance of the occasion.
No, what an attractive woman. Look,
you know,
nothing
I,
like
I
she
think
was
it
herself.
Served the holy, is that really, wow.
Yeah, is that her?
That factor of every guy watching.
Well, she was like, I saw an interview with her on Jay Leno. She looked, and Winter's Bone. She looked nothing like that. No. So I'm going, okay, what? This is interesting.
But to be fair, though, in Winter's Bone, it's like she's, you know, she they have her all, it's like the anti-glam movie. They have her she's beat up for half the movie.
But
I mean,
she never looked attractive to be in Winter's Bone. She just looked like every normal teenager I see asking for change.
But that's a long-standing Oscar tradition is for actresses in particular to go ugly, like Charlize Theron in Monster a few years back, it's sort of a sign that look at me, I'm acting.
Hilary Swank.
Thank you.
It is unattractive.
But she every year she dolls herself up for Oscars.
She looks great. I think she looks really good. Just not my thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think she could arm wrestle me and beat me.
I kind of thought watching the ABC pre-show, there were, was it Robin something? She's from
Robin Roberts from, I think, Good Morning America.
I thought she was really rude to the stars.
She's annoying.
She was just very abrupt.
Yeah, she'd be talking to them and then she would stop and look at the camera and say, and then if you want to be at home and you want to get this, you know, like Jesse Eisenberg was one example. The poor kid is standing there like, what do I do now? Like, he sort of slinks off to the side, like...
Exit stage, right?
Yeah, it's like she just ignored him.
But is that like an Oscar cliche all on its own? It's like, if you're like one of the three guys that won for Best Achievement in Sound Editing, you know, you get like 30 seconds each and then boom, off you go. Whereas if you win Best Actor,
let's be honest.
you can like read a recipe for Beef Bourguignon
Do you want to hear anything about the Best Sound Designer? Like anything
else? I'm just saying.
Why are you watching the show? Are you watching the show for the Best Sound Designer? What's his name? Tell me right now. You watch the show.
I have no bloody idea.
Who won Best Actress?
The Black Swan herself.
Thank you. So there's my point. I couldn't give a crap who won. That's great for him. You did a great job. Get off stage.
Go
ramble on about your beef oil on that report, because I'm going to see you in the movie next week. Best sound designer, I may not hear from you.
That may actually be a trend that the Oscars are going to follow. Like, cut the broadcast down to maybe an hour and a half.
I'm with
you. Have the big 10 awards. Mm-hmm. Like,
they're never going to do it. Never going to do it.
Acting
too much money in commercials.
Right.
Let's look at individual things. Like, the hosts, what did we think?
Well, I think Anne Hathaway had to overcompensate, and she tried too hard to get over the fact that James Franco was a dud.
She was alone out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think these are a bunch of out-of-work TV scriptwriters, and they should go hire the Modern Family scriptwriters and get them to write the Oscars.
You know what? I thought they were the worst choice
I will go on record, and we could do a better job, and I'll do it for a dollar.
Maybe.
If they fly me to L.A., I'll do it. I think I can do a better job. Let's do the best pictures in the exception role.
But they wanted to catch the youth market was the whole point of having these two pictures.
Yeah, it was, but the fact of the matter
is...
youth
doesn't watch television.
The youth doesn't watch the kinds of movies that are nominated for Academy Awards. So is that the viewership they really need to go
after? If they wanted that, go do the MTV popcorn movie, which I love. I think that's one of my favorite shows.
Watch the Nickelodeon Awards and see someone get slimed.
Okay, let's watch this up.
Yeah, the Kids' Choice Awards actually probably have more clout that way.
Well, for that audience, yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like, the Oscars are so political. Like, half the time, it's like, does the person who wins actually deserve to win, or is it a bunch of people saying, it's their year?
Okay, I want to back this up. Do you guys watch the MTV Awards, movie awards?
Sometimes.
And I watch them every year. Incredible. I don't miss them. I never get them right, because always Twilight crowd or whatever, but I think they're fun. I think the Oscars should take some things and make them fun to watch. And I don't think they can. That's my problem.
Well, the article in the paper said they were going to be like the Golden Globes, and they didn't do it.
Because there's no open bar.
I had to drink in order to make myself get through the whole thing. Bottle of wine out.
He was at my soiree, and it was just, I couldn't take it. I'm so bored.
I taped it, actually, so I could watch it later.
And did it get any better?
I gotta say.
I haven't watched it yet.
The one thing that really drove home how bad it was, that show, was when Billy Crystal came out.
Yeah, he was great.
And you're like reminded why, like, of the great Oscar shows that he used to host.
Yes, they were fun.
And you go, why isn't this guy still hosting the Oscar program? Why do we have these duds?
Well, I want Ricky Gervais on the Oscars. Is all you gotta say.
No, not gonna happen.
Drunk Ricky Gervais hosting the Oscars.
I love Ricky Gervais.
I want David Letterman back.
I thought this was hysterical.
No, you know,
I
didn't like
Hugh Jackman.
No.
I thought was
Hugh Jackman. I thought was great. I enjoyed Hugh Jackman.
Now, Billy Crystal is what I think Billy Crystal had the knack for. Was running with the moment.
Yeah.
You know, if you take the year, for example, when Jack Palance won and was doing push-ups on the floor, you know, he used that as, you know, a running gag throughout the night. He could work with what was happening, spur of the moment.
I missed the Oscar song.
Oh, it's a wonderful night for Oscar. Oscar.
Yeah. I think that those are the things we need to bring back. If, you know, if we're the viewers, then, you know, there should be some kind of forum to say, hey, because if you're trying to attract the viewers, why can't the viewers tell them what they want?
Okay. And I have to just say something about my ultimate pet peeve about the Oscars. The goddamn best song nominees.
Why do they have to sing it?
Oh, God.
Come on, Gwyneth Paltrow, sing it. Oh, you can't
always
sing.
Death.
Please stop.
Even worse, they were terrible songs this year.
Okay, how did Tangle get screwed over?
I like when they sang the songs, but this year
I don't know. I mean, I guess they finally said
they gave it to Randy Newman for Toys 23.
Yeah. I don't know. We belong together.
Like, wasn't it the same song as last time you won?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think Randy Newman really has that many lyrical settings.
All right, Bob, you want to say something?
I already did. Like, but... I did, everybody was saying they, like, everything I read was saying they hated it. I didn't mind it. Like, I thought, okay, it's not as bad as that, but some parts were bad, like James Franco, as you said, was lost, or whatever. I thought, like, they brought out Kirk Douglas, and I thought, you look bad.
I felt bad for
Kirk
Douglas.
He's 94.
I couldn't understand one word that man said.
And he did have a stroke, so he did a pretty good job for having a stroke.
I'm still alive.
But, yeah. But I felt bad for him.
Bob, what do you think about the fact that they moved the things like the Thalberg and the Lifetime Achievement Awards off the show? Was that good or bad?
I think it was good because it would have made it even longer.
No, I think that for Lifetime Achievement, you deserve...
That's one of my favorite things is the Lifetime Achievement Award.
I love seeing, you know, the old clips. And how that individual has developed as the director or the actor.
Wasn't it De Niro at the Golden Globes?
Yeah.
Like, I love seeing those clips of movies you've forgotten.
And Eli Wallach. I mean, my God, the man's been in everything.
Yeah.
And Coppola.
Well, and I just think that, especially at an event like the Oscars, where the audience is full of your peers, the people you've worked with, the people you want to work with, and I think it's a tribute to the recipient to be honored by their peers in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what really offended me, is that they were missing that moment in that environment.
I recently watched the film Chaplin, which we'll be reviewing in a future episode. And Charlie Chaplin comes back.
Yeah.
It'll be a while down the line. But
it's not on the papers yet.
The film ends with him receiving his Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
Was that in the email? I don't remember seeing Chaplin on the list.
It's on the list.
Oh, really?
It's not an upcoming show.
Oh,
that's
probably why I haven't read it yet.
And fun fact about the year that Charlie Chaplin received his Lifetime Achievement Oscar, that was the year that Isaac Hayes won for Shaft for Best Song.
What a dichotomy there.
Because I've seen photos from that night where you see, like, Charlie Chaplin in his talks with his Oscar at the end of the night, and everybody comes on stage, and right behind him is Isaac Hayes in a gold chainmail vest in a... That's the Oscars right there.
And I think the other thing that is sort of my issue is if you take someone, say, for example, back in the 70s, like Alfred Hitchcock, that never won an Oscar.
In competition.
You know, if you're taking away the award presentation at the Oscars, you're taking away that moment from a person that's actually never had it and never, you know, had the accolade from winning the Oscar, and the only thing you're getting... is that we've lost our group here. I don't know what the distraction is, but Deb gets what I'm saying. You know, like, they missed that moment of accolade
It's recognition.
It is. Okay. It really is.
Are we having coffee drink time?
All right. So, two episodes ago.
Backing.
You know what? You know when they go through the people that have passed away?
Yes.
They actually missed one.
Who? Harry Hayne.
Who the hell?
They missed several. They missed Tony Curtis.
Yes, they did.
They missed Tony Curtis.
They had Eddie Fisher. They did not have Tony Curtis.
How could they miss
and
Tony
And according
Curtis?
To a statement that was released by the Oscars, it's basically due to time. Mm. The time constraint of
because we had to have a tribute to Lucy Moore.
Yes, we did.
To satisfy Halle Berry.
Yes.
Basically.
Now, to be fair, Lena Horne really was a significant figure in entertainment history, but couldn't they have spared 10 seconds for Corey Haim and Tony Curtis?
And there was somebody else. There was another female actress that had passed away that was not included. And it was in today's paper. But again, they're saying it's time constraints. And I think, well, then maybe you need to do it differently because those people have earned
let's cut out the lame best song performances.
You know, or maybe James Franco didn't have to come out looking like Marilyn Monroe.
Or maybe pay 30 seconds of the song in a little clip for a movie.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't have to listen to like 5 full-length songs.
I agree. That's what I'm saying.
I like the songs.
Really? You like
them? They were terrible songs, but I think that it's appropriate that we hear the songs.
The full song.
We could hear a montage of verses from the song.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Instead of the whole 5-minute song.
Maybe just play them in the opening credits. Can't be worse than that thing I just sit through.
Right.
But again, I think it could be a montage. It doesn't need to be live, except
how about that choir at the end?
Along.
I didn't really sing along.
Oh, yeah, the kids singing Over the Rainbow. Right. In fluorescent shirts, is it 1991 again so quickly?
Over the Rainbow? Did you say Over the Rainbow?
They did. That's what they sang at the end.
Over the Rainbow.
So last episode.
Two episodes ago was 30 seconds. We've changed now.
Well, no, I've changed it. It's back to, it was 59.
Oh, okay.
Was 59 our Oscar picks or 58?
Who cares? I don't want to talk about it.
I'm not talking about it.
All right. So we selected our...
burned that sheet.
This is our... I have the sheets
here. I told it to be shredded. Where's that?
These are our in-show picks. And
the
winner
of shame.
Oh,
the
brutal.
Winners of their out of 24.
Not me.
Simon and Bob tied for first place.
Are you serious?
With 14 correct.
Yay, buddy! High five! We did well. Beat their asses. You guys suck.
Right.
You're all fired.
No, I don't think I suck. I think I just came in.
You're fired.
I can't be fired from something I'm not being paid
place.
For.
Yeah. So,
you
know, get us
some health
benefits, then we can talk about it.
Oh, wow. I thought my check was in the mail. What happened to that?
Okay. In third place, it was Karen and tied for third place.
This is one of my worst years 13. For picks. Worst year.
Worst year I've ever had.
Out of 24 each.
Because, like, can we talk best director? What the hell?
You need a microphone, usually.
Okay, well, bad enough that Christopher Nolan wasn't even nominated, but then David Fincher to lose to that random guy that...
and Tom Hooper to win. Cool. I can't disagree with that.
We can discuss the individual categories in a moment. All right.
I'm sorry.
Are you not held a little too quickly? Yours, Hal?
No, I'm not. All right, I came in last.
Oh.
I have to celebrate my last. Yes, 13. So I had 12 right out of...
Fired.
All right. So.
Kicked off.
I gotta say, this was not a very surprising Oscar.
No, not at all.
Most of you had everything right as far as the main awards go.
Three years running.
Everybody picked Colin Firth.
Lost.
The only person that didn't pick Christian Bale was. Actually, you know what? I'm looking at the sheets. I picked Christian Bale too, so everybody got Christian Bale right. Oh, no, I picked Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah,
right.
I know you did.
I would have loved Jeffrey Rush.
Right. You guys
he
all picked Christian Bale.
He wasn't going to win.
I don't think he deserved. I don't think Christian Bale.
Christian Bale deserved to win.
Are you kidding? That was a performance hewn in ham. He was like...
It was great,
it's
though.
It's best supporting actor, not most supporting
it
actor.
It was awesome. Look, somebody's got to support Mark Wahlberg. He can't act.
You know what? I could believe that Christian Bale and Melissa Leo were related in that film because they were both overacting and chewing up scenery and everything.
I loved it.
I don't know.
Maybe no, no, I think it was deserved. I really do. I think he committed to the role. He had to do a lot of physicality to bulk up. Then he was all the weight to put, you know, be a crack addict.
Okay. And speaking of crack addicts, Natalie Portman won for Best Actress, and everybody had selected her as well.
It was a pretty light year for, I thought, for Best Actress. There really wasn't a lot of choice.
Well, I mean,
Best Supporting was the strong.
I thought that was the stronger characters in that.
Kevin arguing Haley Steinfeld against me.
You picked Melissa Leo.
Yeah, and I told you to, and you took Haley, so we don't need to discuss it anymore because you lost.
And Bob picked Melissa Leo.
And Deb picked Melissa Leo, maybe.
Karen picked Melissa Leo. No, Deborah picked Helena Bonham Carter.
Well, that was a pretty boring role for her.
A good role for her.
But yeah, there was nothing exciting in the role to get her to that level to winning.
But on the other hand, though, she had the tricky part of supporting, like, you know, in a real way. She and Jeffrey Rush played roles of equal importance.
Well, I agree with you. But my problem is...
And the other thing is, it's such a 180 from the role she normally does, because Helena Bonham Carter played a role where she was not called upon to dress like a goth or a drug addict.
Well, maybe that's because Tim Burton wasn't directing it.
Probably.
An excellent point. It's nice to see her working with other directors, too.
Well, she needs to.
All
right. She needs to grow.
I don't think anyone was surprised that Toy Story 3 won.
No. Well, if they are,
the Illusionist
didn't
win?
I was shocked.
Yeah, shocking.
Were you appalled?
How to Train My Dragon was Bob's choice. Free Vengeance. No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't his choice. No, I'm just kidding.
How many minutes until Furry Vengeance was mentioned?
51.
51. Thank you.
It's a record for this one.
I have a question here for
well,
guys.
Since we're mentioning it, how about Hotel for Dogs 2? There you go. There's a mention for that one, too.
Has anybody here ever joined the Razzies?
No.
It's $30 a year.
That's it?
Okay.
And I'm going to join. I just want you guys to know it's on my list for my birthday.
I can't wait to watch it.
Which is up and coming. I'm going to not buy a thing so I can vote for the Razzies. So I will fill you guys in if I receive anything from them. But I am, for my birthday present to myself, spending $30 sign up for the Razzies.
That's an outstanding present.
Because you know what? Of anybody here, I watch probably the most film, I would say. And I probably watch the most crappy film because I don't care what I watch.
You're a Democrat.
He admitted it. He admitted that he watched the crappy film.
Oh, there's so many bad movies. But I think for the Razzies, I'd be perfect.
I'll give you a few.
Because I want Sarah Jessica Parker to win every year for any movie she makes. If I have to watch her, she's winning the award.
What was the movie she made?
She could have started
Grant
Secretariat.
Have you met the Morgans?
Yes, that's the one.
We've never reviewed it. I've watched it. It's been Kevin's pile for 2 years.
Yeah.
I think it's in my bag.
But, I mean, like, why is Sarah Jessica Parker is famous is something that's
Sex
always alluded to
in the City.
Yeah, so we find the least sexy woman in New York City, and we structure a television show.
Is she a woman? I'm still unconfirmed.
Well, she kind of looks like a foot, but that doesn't necessarily mean... She just sort of looks... She doesn't really look...
Is there an option to take Hilary Swank over her? Because I'm in.
Well, at least Hilary Swank has decent boobs.
That's true.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
And on that note, is there anything else we want to add here? I mean, Best Picture?
I love you, Kevin.
Well, that's random.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm used to hearing that from her. So I'm the only person that voted against The King's Speech.
Like, what were you thinking?
Why?
I still think The Social Network is the best movie.
Why? Why is it better than The King's Speech?
It's a better film. The King's Speech is only going to be remembered as the Oscar-winning movie, King's Speech.
That's it.
That's it.
No.
I agree.
No.
I saw The King's Speech twice. Loved it both times.
No, I disagree
with
that.
I love it, but the only reason... It's like The Queen. Like, you remember the movie The Queen because of Helen Mirren's performance.
But see, I didn't put King's Speech in my top 10. It didn't make my top 10, but I knew it was going to win.
Well, you see, that's the thing is, I voted by what I felt should win.
Say I never did.
You voted by what you felt the Academy would select.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. I would
well,
have.
I, are, you, but you I still thought are political it animals.
I would have voted Black Swan.
You guys are political animals.
Or Toy Story.
I mean, I.
I'm
going
to go check the pie.
I do.
Yeah, smell the pie. Pie.
Yes.
Oscar pie.
Yes, it helps to erase the pain.
Did somebody leave Deb with the microphone?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
We're in trouble now.
Does anybody have anything to add? Like, do we want to see different categories?
Yes.
Like, are we missing something?
Are we missing? Okay, well, what would be an example of something
well,
we're missing?
Well, something in the Oscars, like cinematography. I wish they'd go, they're going to have cinematographies up. And while they're announcing the Academy, cinematography is, and maybe they could have a little blurb on the bottom to get people more interested. Maybe that's something they need to do. I mean, how many people know what sound editing is and sound mixing? What really is the difference? I don't know. Is one creating your own sounds and one's mixing sounds that pre-exist? I've always wanted to know that.
Well, I think the thing we have to bear in mind about the Oscars is that for all that we all tune in to, like, look at the dresses and see who's showed up with, like, bad facial plastic surgery, a lot of the categories are very technical, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure that most of the people sitting in the audience knows what they all mean. Because,
really?
Well,
so if I went to Natalie Portman and asked what sound mixing is, she would know?
She probably would.
I doubt it.
You grow up on a set, you learn
no,
how to...
No, she's Natalie Portman. There's no way she knows what sound editing or sound mixing is.
I disagree with you. She's a Harvard graduate. She probably knows.
Okay, Melissa Leo, who likes to swear while she's...
Who the fuck cares about that?
But then right that point. Like, really? Does she know...
Well, then again, that may come down to our point from a little
Haley
earlier.
Haley Steinfeld, I'll give her the credit that she hasn't been around long enough to figure out. Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay, but my point then is, you know...
Bob!
Can I speak?
No.
God.
Time for Karen's speech.
You have met Simon, right?
Yeah, I know. I should have thought about that wiser. But
wiser?
More wisely?
Well, I'll see.
Okay. Do we need to see those categories at all on the television?
Well, that's
you know?
My point.
So...
Like,
okay,
best
yes,
short
yes.
documentary from Israel. Like, God is my... I don't care. I'm never going to hear of it again. I never want to see it. Good, you want. Go on the side. Some, I don't want to see those
okay,
videos.
Okay, then what are we going to replace
Except for
with?
The music with prison people. I love that. That's podcast. That's what it should be. Movie podcast.
Movie podcast.
Yeah, that's
you know,
what
I
should be.
I wouldn't cut a single category. I would bring back the Hall of Fame things.
They should bring back
you
best movie podcast.
If the freaking Oscar show is 4 hours, it's 4 hours.
And don't watch it. And everybody's going
right.
to.
Well, and everyone's going to make money because the ad time on an Oscar show is like $1 million for 30 seconds.
I think it's like the. I think that and the Super Bowl are the two
yes.
biggest television events of the year.
For, yeah, or when a long-running television show is leaving, like when Seinfeld had its last episode.
Nash,
another good example. When, you know, classic shows like
Nash.
That are going off the air, they raise a lot of money in ad space.
What's wrong with MASH? Wait till they do the movie.
Oh.
We'll discuss it then.
Wait, wasn't MASH based
on
a movie?
Yeah,
it
MASH
was
based on a movie. They did
it
that
was.
In 1970.
I think MASH movie is phenomenal. Excellent.
And the show is good, too. Harry Tyler Moore show.
All right.
It's not the TV podcast, so don't worry.
So,
can we start one?
Any parting thoughts
Feel free.
On the 83rd Academy Awards?
I'm up for 84. Let's start the movies rolling.
All right. Karen? Final thoughts?
You know, I'm not quite ready for the Oscars. I'm definitely ready for the Toronto International Film Festival, where a lot of these...
6 months, 6 days.
Woo! Where a lot of these movies get launched, and they get their audience, and they find an audience in Toronto, like us, that love film.
Deb? Bob. Sorry, Bob.
What? Where?
We'll move around the room. Bob, what are your final thoughts on the Oscars?
I can't. Well, I'll still watch it. I taped it. I'm still going to watch it again because I enjoy watching different parts.
Because there's not enough movies to watch.
Shut up. I'll watch movies
Who
over and over like some
earlier?
People.
Not me.
Who won? Jin.
What?
Jin won.
Yes. Half.
She died.
Sure. So what does that mean? They split the trophy?
They split the trophy I give out every year. That's up to them to deal with, not me. I'm out.
All right. Debbie, what are your final thoughts?
Well, I'm going to look into this Golden Razzie thing, because I got to tell you, the thought of trashing movies that deserve it just warms the cockles
Maybe
of my
Catherine Heigl
heart.
Could tie with Sarah Jessica Parker every year for me.
Has Katherine Heigl won the Michael Caine Award?
Hottest actress ever.
She is hot, but can't act save her life.
She won the Michael Caine Award, did she not?
Nope. I had to give it to Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston.
The Michael Caine Award.
You were here for that show, Deb. Maybe she'll go back and listen to it. Or you have to wait till next year.
Yep, till he presents it again. Who won it last year? The last one you gave it to?
Jason Bateman.
Okay.
First year was Michael Caine.
Well, of course. Denzel Washington one year, Samuel L. Jackson
won second year.
And Sarah, or what's her name? Black Widow.
Scarlett Johansson.
No, she's never won. Scarlett she was close. Yeah. She was getting close.
And speaking of grandmother's tablecloths, what the hell was Scarlett Johansson wearing?
Oh, how to make a hot woman ugly.
They managed.
I'm still in.
I'll just say it wasn't the worst dress of the evening.
I'll help her take it off.
So what was your, okay, so what was your pick for worst dress of the evening?
Oh, good grief.
Scarlett Johansson for me.
No. I'm going with Jennifer Hudson.
What about?
Yes.
Yes.
Or Sandra Bullock.
Oh, with that red dress with the...
Sandra Bullock was her hair.
Sandra Bullock was nice and red.
Her hair was horrible.
Why didn't they make Sandra Bullock the host of the Oscars? Wouldn't she do a good job?
I think she's funny.
I think she is, but I don't think she would do it. I just don't think it's her thing.
Yeah.
Why don't we give Eddie Murphy a career again?
Why don't we
write to the Academy and tell them what we want?
I'm sure they'll get right on it.
How about Zero and
Pacino? Oh, jeez, that would not be good. Well, I'm just glad the Oscars are over, so now that we can get into my favorite time of the year, which is the spring and summer blockbuster season.
We'll get to there, Kevin.
Where we get some good movies.
Yes.
Lots of superhero movies.
We can start bitching about how badly they've translated to the big screen.
Say goodbye, Deb.
Nah, it's just as long as they don't suck.
Say goodbye, Deb.
Goodbye, Deb.
Goodbye. Hola.
Sayonara.
And if they make it...
Simon forces us to watch it.
Save us!